We should start by pressing for a UN resolution on Xinjiang.
That is one opinion on China's treatment of the Uyghurs. This is Friday, the 14th of May, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, the U.S. State Department's International Religious Freedom reports more questions than answers about the U.S. military pullout from Afghanistan. It is all on today's VOA Asia. United Nations member states met Wednesday to discuss the treatment of Uyghur Muslims in Xinjiang, China. The virtual event angered Beijing, who had urged members not to attend the hearing. VOA UN correspondent Margaret Bashir spoke about that with VOA's Steve Miller.
China turned up at the meeting, and they sent a young diplomat who's in charge of human rights for the Chinese mission. And he, basically said that he was there to tell the truth and that everything's great in Xinjiang.
So-called genocide, forced labor, systematic rape and torture in Xinjiang are lies of the century, which never happened and will never happen in China.
But at the meeting, basically, diplomats were asking for China to let in the UN Human Rights Commissioner, Michelle Bachelet, who's been asking to visit this region of China where the Uyghur Muslims live. She's been asking for quite a while to go there. So they were agitating for her to be allowed in an unobstructed, unhindered kind of way, because what we're hearing is that the Chinese sort of want to take her on one of these tours where everything's scrubbed clean and looks lovely, and that really achieves nothing. So that was the first and main ask at this meeting. And then there was also, again, keep the international pressure up, highlight the abuses that are going on there, such as torture and women being forcibly sterilized, reports of more than a million people being arbitrarily detained in detention camps, which the Chinese say, oh, no, they're not camps, they're re-education or vocational training facilities. And also to just keep this in the spotlight, to keep up the international pressure on China so that it doesn't get away with such violations of human rights. And they're also at the meeting, there were two members of the Uyghur diaspora, but there were also the heads of Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch, Ken Roth.
And we should start by pressing for a UN resolution on Xinjiang, most logically at the UN Human Rights Council. Crimes against humanity deserve a commissioned inquiry to collect the evidence and to build the case for prosecution. At minimum, we should press for a resolution of condemnation. Now, I know that won't be easy. It will require active outreach to nations of all regions. But if we could build a global coalition to defend Rohingya Muslims in Myanmar, we should be able to build a global coalition to defend Uyghur Muslims in Xinjiang.
He said that these crimes are crimes against humanity.
So, Margaret, what's next?
Well, I don't think there was any outcome expected. This is the kind of meeting where they discuss options. And they're put out there. And now the next step is to see if anything is implemented or if there's sustained momentum to do something about it.
VOA UN correspondent Margaret Bashir speaking with VOA Steve Miller. Muslim leaders from the Xinjiang region rejected Western allegations that China is suppressing religious freedom, speaking at a reception Thursday for foreign diplomats and media at the end of the holy month of Ramadan. The event was the latest in a series of moves by the Chinese government to counter accusations of human rights abuses in Xinjiang. Find out more by checking our website at voanews.com, as well as all of our social media platforms. VOA Asia continues. Secretary of State Antony Blinken released the State Department's annual International Religious Freedom Report, singling out Iran, Myanmar, Russia, Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, and China as some of the world's worst violators of what Blinken termed a core human right. VOA's senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain has the story.
China's systematic surveillance and massive detention of Uyghur Muslims is highlighted in this year's International Religious Freedom Report, as U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken announced Wednesday.
China broadly criminalizes religious expression and continues to commit crimes against humanity and genocide against Muslim Uyghurs, and members of other religious and ethnic minority groups. Today, I'm announcing the designation of Yu Wei, former office director of the so-called Central Leading Group Preventing and Dealing with Heretical Religions of Chengdu, for his involvement in gross violations of human rights, namely the arbitrary detention of Falun Gong practitioners. Yu Wei and his family are now ineligible for entry into the United States.
China rejects claims of genocide and crimes against humanity and says it is countering extremism in Xinjiang using vocational education centers. But senior State Department official Daniel Nadell said China has essentially turned the entire region into an open-air prison. Satellite images also document China's desecration and destruction of mosques in Xinjiang. Blinken also called out other offenders, including Iran and Russia, for targeting religious minorities.
In Nigeria, courts continue to convict people of blasphemy, sentencing them to long-term imprisonment or even death. Yet the government has still not brought anyone to justice for the military's massacre of hundreds of Shia Muslims in 2015. Saudi Arabia remains the only country in the world without a Christian church, though there are more than a million Christians living in Saudi Arabia.
Blinken also called on Saudi Arabia to free prisoners of conscience like blogger Raif Badawi, who was sentenced in 2014 to 10 years in prison and 1,000 lashes for allegedly insulting Islam and encouraging debate Riyadh found objectionable. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
We are happy you're with us on VOA Asia. The U.S. military has completed about 10% of its pullout from Afghanistan, but defense officials left members of Congress with more questions than answers Wednesday as the U.S. inches closer and closer to President Biden's September 11th withdrawal deadline. VOA's Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb has the latest.
While U.S. troops are engaged in a complete withdrawal from Afghanistan, top defense leaders gave no answers to lawmakers on how to solve several lingering problems. Representative Mike Rogers is the House Armed Services Committee ranking member.
We're here and we're working on it. I'm of the opinion this should have been resolved before you announced you were leaving.
Unanswered questions include, how will the U.S. continue to train its Afghan partners? David Helvey is the Acting Assistant Defense Secretary for Indo-Pacific Affairs.
We are still doing, you know, planning on how we would be able to provide, you know, the type of support that's necessary, you know, from an over-the-horizon posture.
And where to base American forces so military and intelligence assets can continue identifying and taking out regional terror threats. Again, here's Helvey.
We have to maintain what's called access, basing, and overflight, and those are the discussions that we're having.
Virtually all members of Congress at the hearing wanted the Pentagon to quickly find a way to provide special immigrant visas to Afghans who helped U.S. personnel. Roughly 18,000 Afghans have applied for these visas out of fear the Taliban will kill them once the U.S. has left. Congressman Jason Crow's Afghan colleague was murdered by the Taliban in January.
Assassins jumped out and gunned him down in front of his son. A couple of weeks later, his eldest son received this death threat from the Taliban. He and many others like him will soon die unless we act.
Members from both political parties said the withdrawal is the right thing to do after years of military stalemate. Representative Adam Smith is the House Armed Services Committee chairman.
You cannot tell me that after 20 years that doing the same thing for another 1, 2, 5, or 10 would have changed that. So we would have been asking people to die to not accomplish anything.
But other Democrats and Republicans, like Representative Joe Wilson of South Carolina, worry the Taliban, which still has ties to al-Qaeda, may overrun the Afghan government without a U.S. military presence.
I'm really concerned that we're turning the country over to people who have every intent to develop an ability to come back and attack the United States.
If the government falls, many fear the U.S. military may need to re-enter the country, costing an unknown number of American dollars and lives to reestablish bases and retake territory. Carla Babb, VOA News, Washington.
After you listen to VOA Asia, see it. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free and see us often on VOA Asia YouTube.
We continue now. The Tokyo Summer Olympics, which open on July 23rd, will feature four new sports: surfing, sport climbing, skateboarding, and karate. American athletes will compete in all four of the new sports and have a good shot at taking home some medals. Maxim Moskalkov has the story.
The surfing competition will be held at Shidashida Beach, located some 64 kilometers from Tokyo. American athletes are ready, says the head of USA Surfing.
And the waves are breaking over sand, and they're generally not super powerful, like you would find in Hawaii. But they're, you know, Caroline Marks grew up in Florida, so she's really used to those types of waves. As did Chloe Andino growing up in San Clemente. So I think our chances for medaling are really good.
Four-time world champion Carissa Moore is 28, the youngest team member. She's expected to have a good chance of winning a medal.
I've just kind of been surfing and training like I would for a normal event, and I think the more time I've had has actually let me kind of go back to a basic level and really like look at my surfing and see where I could make improvements.
All in all, 40 athletes will compete for medals in surfing, 20 men and 20 women. They will be competing on shortboards that are known for their maneuverability. Skateboarding will include two disciplines. The first one is street skateboarding, which focuses on flat ground tricks, grinds, slides, and aerials within urban environments and public spaces. The second one is park skateboarding that takes place on special ramps. Among 80 sportsmen competing for medals, 16 are Americans. 16-year-old Bryce Wettstein won the 2019 National Championship for Women's Park and is widely seen as Team USA's top medal contender.
I want everybody this year to see that skateboarding can be everything, because a lot of times the things that emerge out of skateboarding are that you never really see the full picture of skateboarding when you have just one person, because so many people do it in a different way.
Competition is expected to be heated in sports climbing.
With only, you know, two men and two women representing USA, that's a really high performance that's going to be required to make it, you know, not only obviously to the games, but to make it to the qualification, out of the qualification round in Tokyo, and then also into the finals. We just hope they have their best performance on both of those days.
Sports climbing features three main disciplines: speed, bouldering, and lead. Speed climbing pits two climbers against each other, both climbing a 15-meter wall. In bouldering, athletes scale a number of fixed routes on a 4.5-meter wall in a specified time. In lead, they attempt to climb as high as possible on a wall measuring over 15 meters in height within a specified time. In Tokyo, the three will be combined. Team USA Karate is still working on its lineup. So far, only Sakura Kokumai has secured her spot on the team to compete in the women's individual kata event.
I can't tell you how much I've given up in my pursuit of just chasing the highest level of sport. It's an awesome feeling to know that we reached the pinnacle of sport. You know, there's nothing bigger or greater than the Olympics.
Athletes will also compete for medals in baseball and softball, relatively new sports that are coming back after the pandemic break. Maxim Moskalkov for VOA News, Washington.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team. That includes Jim Stevenson, Amy Heibels, Keith Lane, and Doug Bernard. I'm Ira Melman. Make sure you stay safe and enjoy the day ahead.